Hello, hello, and buenos dias to all my lovely and beautiful ladies out there. I'm so glad that you are tuning in today to another episode of Mommy on a Mission podcast. I'm your host, Mariana, and this is the podcast that empowers women, especially Latina women, to reach their impossible goals one dream at a time. And you know how I like to be. I want to just, you know, come at you comfortably and everything. So I hope you have your cafecito with you today as you join me. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Mommy on a Mission podcast, where empowerment meets inspiration. I'm your host, Mariana, a life coach and author on a mission to help Latina women and all women to reach their impossible goals one dream at a time. Join me on this incredible adventure as we dive into compelling subjects that will uplift, motivate, and ignite your passion. Get ready to be inspired, empowered, and never give up on your dreams. This is the podcast where we turn dreams into unstoppable missions. Are you ready? Let's go. I have a really special guest with me today. Her name is Wendy Ramirez. She is the CEO of Lovingly Bold. She is a first generation Latina known for her entrepreneurship passion, travel, and she is also a coffee lover. Yay for coffee lovers. And her agency has helped over 240 business owners in 10 countries grow through marketing and strategic guidance, aiming to empower entrepreneurs to exceed their potential and leave lasting legacies. Wendy, thank you so much for joining me today on Mommy on a Mission podcast. How are you doing today?
I am doing great, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity. Thank you for having me here today.
Absolutely. So listen, I was reading your, so I went on your website, okay? Because I said, well, let me read up a little bit more about Wendy. I want to get to know a little bit more about her, right? And so I was on your website and stuff. And you've got an interesting life. Like, you've had some interesting things going on. So talk to me a little bit about, first of all, your background and what it is that you do. And how did you fall into that?
Of course. So I always say that my entrepreneur journey kind of started when I was in elementary school. Being the first generation Latina, I feel like I was always figuring things out as I went. And I've always had that figure it out attitude. I'm like, I'm going to figure it out one way or another. You know, there's that saying that dicho that goes like, no te des por vencida. Mm-hmm. And that's something that lives through me. And so I remember in second grade, I would always be selling gel pens and just different pens, which is funny because I'm someone who still to this day takes my stationery and my pens seriously. So I was so passionate about it back then, still am today. And, you know, that's where a little bit of my entrepreneurial journey started, of like getting those pens sold, getting people hyped up about them so I could, you know, buy my bag of Takis, buy some cookies. And eventually I went to school for business and marketing, and that's what my degree is in. I went and even explored my master's, but ended up dropping out after a year because I felt like I was taking in a lot of information, but not taking a lot of action. So at that point in my life, I was also feeling very unfulfilled, uninspired. I had this craving for more, a burning desire. And I was getting ready to get married. And that was the one thing that I was so sure of. But I told my fiance at that point, now husband, I'm like, look, I have this burning desire for more, this voice inside of me who is telling me, like, go after more, girl. Like, there's more out there for you. And I said, I have to go out there and listen to it. And so my best friend at that time was teaching English in South Korea. And I told her, hey, girl, like, can I go out there for a good week and a half and just get this little voice inside of me answered? Yeah. And she's like, heck yeah, like, come. And I did. And it was such a self-exploration journey where my heart, my soul was just telling me, Wendy, there's more. And that's where my journey with blogging actually began, which eventually, that was in 2017. I did that for about a year and a half. And that burning desire, that voice kept saying more. And eventually that was the turning page for my business, Lovingly Bold, that was established in 2019, in June of 2019.
So, oh, wow. So 1 year, well, like months before the pandemic.
And yeah.
Dang, that was interesting having to go through all of that during the pandemic. And I think a lot of people found themselves jumping into that entrepreneurship journey during the pandemic. I don't know if it was maybe because we didn't know what things were going to look like, how it was going to be. So all of a sudden, everybody started looking for their entrepreneur hat just to, I guess, in a state, I don't want to call it a state of panic, but I think out of curiosity, it afforded that opportunity to explore other ways to do things. I guess sudden change like that sparks, yeah. It's either you're going to adapt to the change or you're going to move with the change and stuff. So that must have been interesting. How did you manage to survive or build your career even through the pandemic? Well, you know what? Before I get to that, because you also were in, during your college days, right after, you also went into marketing for a beauty company, right?
Yeah. So I was working for Sephora when I was living in Nebraska. So one of the things that came out of that trip from South Korea was picking up my life and moving to Texas. My husband and I have no family here, like where we live. We have a great uncle. I do in Houston area, actually. And I get to visit him like once a year. But aside of that, all our immediate family is back in Nebraska, both sides. And mm-hmm. One of the things that we've always said, we were like, after we graduate college, like for some reason, Texas calls our attention. And at that moment, I was interviewing for a corporate position for Sephora because I was working in retail version of Sephora. And that didn't plan out as I had anticipated, but they did offer me the opportunity to do some sort of retail management, which is what we would call like an educational operational specialist in Sephora. And I moved down here, took that position with hopes of me moving into the corporate world for marketing for Sephora. The interesting thing is that during that time, our store worked closely with corporate because they had a headquarters here in Texas. And unfortunately, though, with everything that happened with the pandemic and the change and everything, it just did not work out in my favor. But not only that, the more I dove into my business, the more away I was from that too.
So you were doing both simultaneously, working at Sephora and you started your business. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was working about some days from 6 to 2 p.m. at Sephora. I would come back and market my business. I had a couple of clients that I was taking at beta rounds at that point. And that was the rest of my day. So I was like really truly living the side hustle of like working your 9 to 5 and, you know, doing your business afterwards too. Mm. I have always been very strong on my stories too, like on Instagram. So I would show up like at 5 in the morning or during my lunches at Sephora and be like, hey guys, like here I am. Like, this is what we're going to talk about later today. And it was exciting times, you know?
Well, and so now fast forward, then at what point did you decide that I'm going to leave my full-time job and I'm going to focus fully on the business?
Yeah. So that introduction actually came from a position of being pulled into an office one day, and they were telling me that positions were going to start to be eliminated. And this was before pandemic, by the way. Okay. And they were like, positions are going to be eliminated. Yours might be one of them. It's very unsure who we're going to keep, who we're not. And at that point, I just took it as, I don't have the seniority on this team. I feel like I'm going to be the one to be let go. And I remember that day, I was just like, you guys, here's my 2-week notice. Like, I am just going to go my own route. And I remember coming home and my husband was like, what did you do? We didn't even talk about this. Like, I regrettably sometimes I'm like led on too much emotion at that point. But that was the door opening up for the opportunity of me going all in on my business. And I said, trust me. I'm like, I have a vision here. I'm going to put in the work. I'm going to make it happen. And I did. It was scary, but I did, because I'm like, I had no other choice at that point.
Yeah. No, and I think a lot of us can relate to that, because I know that similarly for myself, in February of 2022, so it was after the pandemic, because I still was able to work from home and stuff. And the thought of having my own business did not even, I didn't even entertain it. And I don't know. I mean, it's something that I've always wanted to do, but I didn't do what a lot of people did and jump on that movement of doing something, you know, of starting my own business until February. So it was like 2 days after my birthday and I'm told, oh, you're getting laid off. I'm like, wait, what? And never was I expecting to get laid off, because I was the one of the ones. And so what their mentality was when they were laying off people, I don't, you know, you can't help but take it personally sometimes. But when I saw who was laid off to, it was like some of us were the top people that were there and others were close to retirement age. So there was like a mixture of everybody that, so it was like seven of us. And this was the third round of layoffs. And so, but surprisingly, I was shocked to see who were the ones that stayed. And I was like, wait a minute, what the world happened here? So I did find another job almost immediately. And it was in for an organization that was working through schools. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to work with high schoolers. I don't know how that's going to be. And I only lasted there 3 months. It just, there was a lot of potential for that position. But it just never, like, I couldn't click with it. You know, it was completely different from whatever I had been doing. And I just didn't feel like it was calling. So my husband was actually the one that said, listen, you've always talked about wanting to start your business. You've always, so he was doing all the number figuring. So I guess that was the thing, is that I was afraid to do so because I didn't want to leave him with the burden. Plus we have children and it was like all of this stuff. And he said, can you make it happen? I was like, I don't know. Let me see. And so I did, and I started working with it. And that's when I met my podcast coach along the way. And then I just started meeting other people. And eventually I did end up having to go back to a full-time job. But I am now working the two simultaneously. And so that's why when you were saying you were doing both, it's like, I think a lot of us are doing that, because I know a couple of other women that we're still working our businesses. Our desire is to be able to make that income, but we find it hard. And so I know that that probably was nerve-wracking even for you, but what was your attitude in, like, how did you navigate through all those feelings? Because I know I got feelings, you know, like, I get frustrated. Sometimes I want to be like, I quit. I don't want to do this anymore. But it's a bigger calling. Like, there's a bigger purpose behind it. So I don't leave it, because I really do enjoy it. But what was your attitude like, in what, how do you advise other women that are in the same position?
Yeah. So first of all, I want to just say shout out to the partners, the family members, the friends who unshakably stand in our corners when we're going through those things, who show unshakable belief in us, because it's tough. It's hard. Yeah. I would go in, like I said, I would get up at 5:30, record a couple stories, because I'm like, I'm going to post these during lunch. I would show up. I was more of the operation role at that time. So from like 6 to 10 before the store would open, mm-hmm. I would be the one putting up these planograms, these settings, everything that you would see at Sephora, the gondolas, the pretty displays, I would be in charge of doing that. They were heavy, but I would spend that time listening and educating myself on podcasts, listening to, you know, YouTube videos. I would spend that time really taking that information in. So that way, when I would get off, I'd be like, okay, how can I apply some of this information? But I think that the biggest thing is you got to allow yourself, for humans, to feel those emotions of like, wow, like, this is what's going on. Like, there's going to be days where it's going to feel tough. Mm-hmm. There's going to be days where you just want to give up. There's going to be days where you're just like, is this enough? And I think in those days, you got to rely on One, knowing that you have a bigger vision in mind. Like, you got to paint a big picture vision of where you're going and why you're doing this. For me, it's about leaving a legacy. It's about creating impact. It's about helping other Latinas be able to build their own tables and be a part of other tables that maybe we're not always included in. Mm-hmm. That's my bigger vision, right? And so when I find myself struggling, when I have the hard days, I lean into that. Yeah. I lean into one of the things that I also do is like lean into my support system. Mm-hmm. Like, my husband's someone who I go to and he's like, do you want me to just listen? Do you want me to try and give you advice? I'm like, just listen to me today. It's important to move that emotion out, because the yeah. more that you keep that emotion into, I feel like the more we remain stuck too. So voice that biz bestie, your partner, that family member who is ride or die, you know, like go after them and let them know how you're feeling, like vent out. And above all, I think it's important to just keep in mind that I have a saying that says, God doesn't give you a challenge that you can't face.
Mm-hmm.
And I always keep that in mind too. My husband, actually, when we were dating at the age of 16, he would always tell me that. He's like, God does not give you a challenge that you can't carry, that you can't face. Mm-hmm. And so that keeps me going too as a reminder.
No, absolutely. I have to agree with that. I have to agree, because I think that's when we learn the biggest lessons is when we're facing those challenges and stuff. Because if, at some point we feel like we're failing at something, but then if we really take the time to pause, then we realize that there's a lesson that needed to be learned. And from that lesson, it's now, okay, how do I want to adjust and then reapply what I've learned into what I'm currently doing, right? And that's one of the great things that I love, because I've been following you, gosh, maybe it's been 6 months to a year now. And I think it was through one of my coaches that I think she follows you, but I don't know. It's like you follow and you follow and you follow. And sometimes I have to remind myself of that too, right? That sometimes we're following people for a very long time before we actually reach out and start, you know, things. And so my curiosity was piqued only because the way you present yourself, the way you just build your audience and how you interact with them, I connected with that, you know, just, and it's not like all that pitchy, salesy type of material that you see. And then there's not those promises. And I think a lot of times, when I see other businesses, like the ones that promise you high ticket sales and say, oh, if you, you know, you join me this, because I can't tell you how many people will just come at me through my DM or, you know, private messaging or whatever. And then like, oh yeah, are you interested in building your career your coaching, you know, business into the six figures, and you can do that within 3 months and blah, 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 blah. Whereas how I view JERS is you actually provide us with techniques and tools, like even through your information. So even if we're not even seeking you immediately, you're giving us something. And I think that's what I was, I think that's really one of the biggest connections, because I could relate to what you were saying. And it was, all of the action steps have been doable. So I have applied, you know, things here and there and stuff. But I wanted to ask too, as far as who were your biggest, like, I guess, because I see you as someone that influences me. I guess that's why they call them influencers, right? But who was that mentor for you? And what role did they play for you, whether it been personal or professionally? Because I hear you say that, you know, you'll read stuff and you'll do stuff. But who's been that mentor for you? Or who were those things for? Who was that person or that thing that was for you when you found yourself in those moments?
So I've been someone that's always had some sort of investment going on behind the scenes, because I really am someone, I'm human. I get in my own head. You know, I thank you for, you know, saying that you appreciate the value and that, you know, you see that and you recognize that, because sometimes I even find myself saying, is that enough? You know, as this, there's this trending sound right now on TikTok and on Instagram, and it's Salma Hayek, and she's like, you know, they ask her, what's the most expensive thing you're wearing? She's like, it's my braid. And I'm just like, yes, that's me too. And I just feel like I have so much to give. I am a sponge when it comes to like books and learning. Like, I didn't have TV necessarily growing up because my parents were always trying to save on their bills and cables and just trying to get by. And so I relied heavily on books. I still do. And one of the things that I noticed was I'm like, oh, I'm taking in a lot of information. I'm like, and I'm finding myself kind of sometimes self-sabotaging the taking of the action part. And so I think one of the things is we have to be very self-aware of what we're really good at and maybe some of the places where we self-sabotage or we hold back a little bit. And for me, it was like truly understanding that I am good enough to put myself out there with this offer and really speak to people in a way where it's like communicating the value of how I can help them. That was always my struggle. And so I would invest in mentors. My first one that I invested in was like a month or two after I had left Sephora, after I got the news. I sat down with my husband. I'm like, can we, I know that I just like got up and left this position, but can we make this investment work? I'm like, this person's going to support me with X, Y, and Z. At that point, it was creating my first offer, getting out there on social media, and really creating an email list. And he's like, we can make it work, but I would love to just make sure that you're putting the work out there. I was like, 100%. And ever since then, I've always had someone in my corner. One of the mentors that I really look up to that I worked for, I think it was 2 years that I worked with her, is Shannon Matson from The Social Bungalow. And it's funny because she's also in marketing. But I always think that sometimes you can learn from other people within your own field too. And so she is someone who also leads with a lot of value. And I loved that because I, you know, to each their own, everyone has their own style of showing up and their style of selling. But like what you said, like it didn't resonate for me to get out here and promise the world to people in 3 days or, you know, all of this noise that sometimes we hear just did not align to me. And for me, when I show up with value first, it makes me feel fulfilled in what I'm doing. Because I know I'm like, if someone can't invest in me, at least I'm giving them something to be able to get the wheels turning right here, right now. Mm-hmm. And that matters to me.
No, and that's really good information that you're sharing. I think those are really good nuggets that you just shared right there, because I think sometimes even for myself that I have that tendency to get in my head, or I find myself wasting a lot of time and energy because I'm scrolling and I'm looking and I'm trying to see what other people are doing. And, you know, maybe if I do that, or maybe if I do this. And I had an epiphany the other day, and that was like, you know what? Screw all this. I'm going to be me. I'm going to be me because I am who I am. I've got here in a certain way, right? Like, you know, I went through my struggles. I went through all these things, and other women need to know that, God, you know, she sounds just like me, you know, and here she is today. Right. And I think that's what I learned from watching you and other women as well. But, you know, just, and it's interesting how our circles connect, right? Like how we end up finding the people that that we connect with that are pouring right back into each other. And I think that's another thing, because when I had just recently had done a podcast about women giving other women compliments, and how hard it is sometimes for us women, especially Latina women. And I'm going to speak for us because that's who I am. But especially for us Latina women, it's like, you look at somebody, ay, mira, no, pues, you know, you want to give a compliment, but then you're like, ay, mira, ay, qué bonito vestido. Ay, no, pero está un poquito cortito. Like, there's always that, that backhanded comment, right? Or we see somebody how they look, and we always have to say, ay, pues si estuviera un poquito más flaquita, o si estuviera un poquito más llenita. You know, like we're never satisfied with just giving an honest feedback or compliment rather. And that's one of the things that I hope in doing what I do, which is what I see in you, is that really pouring in and really being true to that compliment when we're giving them, when we're saying, hey, you can do whatever it is that you set your mind to. You have that choice to make things happen. And yes, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be frustrating. There's going to be, like you said earlier, you know, there's going to be days where we want to just be like, no, I can't do this anymore. I just want to give up, which I'm going to circle back. How did you manage to survive during the pandemic when you were getting started? Because I know that had to have been a challenge, especially, I guess, with marketing, because I know that a lot of people who were starting businesses were either making shirts, they were making candles. I saw a lot of that, you know, or they were making bread. Like, they were able to make actual things, you know, and selling those. But when you're talking about life coaching, when you're talking about, you know, marketing or pouring into other business, how did you survive that?
You know, it's interesting because those years of the pandemic, I experienced a lot of growth in my business. So much so that, like, within the first a little over a year of being in business, I started in June of 2019. And I think in November of 2020, I had hit six figures in my business. Wow. So the growth was tremendous. But I will say that those years were tough on me mentally and emotionally, because at that point, I had started out as traditional coaching, and I love what coaches do and how and what they bring to the table and what they offer. But for me, the coaching aspect was tough because during that time, I was taking on a lot of emotion from clients, where it was like they would have these high highs when it came to their business, but then they would bring their emotion of like someone in their family passed away or this and this and this happened. And I'm someone who is there for you. I am there through and through. And I emotionally feel things on another level that it's so hard for me to like walk away from a Zoom call and say, I'm not taking that with me. Like, I took it with me.
Very empathetic. Yeah.
Very empathetic. I would have nights where I would just be crying myself to sleep. Nights where I would wake up in the middle of the night and I'd wake up my husband and be like, can you just hear me out? Because this is like very heavy on my heart. This is what happened today on a call, you know? And it was heavy. It was heavy. So I say, I'm like, sometimes you can have the most amazing growth in business, and sometimes it comes with, you know, things that you didn't expect, the heaviness. And so for me, 2020 taught me what I'm really good at and what I admire in others, but necessarily isn't for me to take. And so come 2021, what I noticed was in 2020, I was really good at creating personalized strategies and plans for clients and co-creating with them and really seeing their power and their uniqueness and helping them amplify that to be able to reach more people, to build trust and convert more sales. And so that's when I started adopting the role of a strategist versus a coach. And I tell you, the passion, the light came back on for me personally. I felt like I had a renewed sense of purpose because I was like, this is what I want to be doing. And I heard a lot of chatter. People were like, don't do that. That's just making more work for you. Like, you're over here spending hours creating these plans. But it's what I love. Mm-hmm. And it's because I love that I'm still in business today, to be honest. Because if I would have kept going in the route that I was, honestly, I don't think I'd be in business today.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, you know, and that's, you're saying that because I've been a coach for 13 years, you know, so even during the pandemic, I was already doing that. And that's always what I've done. But I did it through nonprofit organizations, which is probably why I didn't jump on wanting to start a business, because I was working from home, doing exactly what I love to do and stuff, and pouring back into people. So I already had 13 years in the game. So I knew how to separate my emotions. Not to say that it didn't get to me, because I would cry with my clients. Sometimes if they were crying, I would cry with them. And there were opportunities that I would, because I was working from home, that I could pray with them. And they really, sometimes that's really what they wanted. But trying to help folks find a job during the pandemic, that taught me some challenges. You know, those were challenging times too, even for me, but we made it and we were able to accomplish this. And we got very creative at the organization that I was at. So, which is probably why when my husband proposed that opportunity to become a coach, it didn't seem far off, the thought.
Yeah.
But the big challenge came because I did connect with people. But the difference is I worked for a nonprofit organization. Clients came to me. Now I have a business. Now I have to generate a new audience and clients because now my services are no longer free. Now it's investing in yourself. Whereas with nonprofit, it was a free service. So that is where it becomes very challenging and difficult even today, you know, because I'm still in nonprofit, not as a coach in the agency that I am, but still trying to separate that image of Mariana, the case manager, whereas it's Mariana, the entrepreneur and the business owner. And I think for a lot of women, it's that separation of identity and how do I hone in on clients when I'm trying to build a business and how do I separate my image from what I do here to what I do over there? And so interestingly enough, not too long ago, you introduced a quiz to help individuals. So it was it three categories?
Yep, three categories. Three.
Yeah, and mine actually fell into lead generation, and that's exactly the thing that I've been working on. But what were the other two? And talk to us a little bit about what encouraged you or what inspired you to start that quiz, because I thought it was awesome. And then the emails that come with it are like, I have to go back and just look at it.
Yeah, so I got inspired because I have my degree in business and marketing, and I realized that a lot of people, although I love marketing, they think that it's the end all be all when it comes to growing their business, when in reality, marketing is just the beginning stages of what happens when it comes to seeing the end goal, which for a lot of people is converting sales, working with clients, right? It's the beginning. And oftentimes, it gets prioritized and we ask the question, well, why am I not seeing results? Why is this not happening? And it's because we haven't moved people along the journey. There's a whole thing called the client journey, and your marketing is the beginning of it. The lead generation aspect of it, which is the part that most people miss. And it's the part that the majority, I would say 80% of the people that took the quiz were missing lead generation. And it was interesting to me because I'm like, whoa, I'm like, so this is a huge opportunity for people, lead generation, but they just don't understand necessarily like how to get it going, how this fits into the whole marketing pie of it all, and how that then translates into sales. And so for me, I'm like, I want to be able to provide people with value depending on where they're at. For me, it's important to meet them where they're at. And so I'm like, knowing that it's either going to be marketing, lead generation, or sales, let me create a quiz that helps people identify that for themselves. And I thought that it was my duty to be able to do that because as a marketing strategist, I'm like, I can give you all the marketing that you need to do. But if these two areas are not in place, you're not going to see that ROI, that return on investment on your marketing. And I am someone who really much so values my time. And so because of that, I'm like, I value your time too. I'm like, let's make sure that your marketing is actually working. And so that was what inspired that. I also think that sometimes we as business owners, we're so quick and so good at selling other people's things. Like I was just saying, you know, the pens, right? I have my favorite pens, you know, you need this pen, blah, blah, blah. But it's so hard for us to do that for ourselves too. And so all of that, like the marketing lead generation and sales, is about being able to also feel very confident in who you are, because marketing is part of that. What it is that you have to offer, which is where lead generation comes into play, and how you're supporting your clients and helping them see the results that you are selling to them. And that's where sales comes into play. So it's just this beautiful ecosystem that once it's, you know, in place, it runs like a well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm. That, and you said that the majority of the people, well, you got a huge response and a lot of it was lead generation.
Yeah, 80%.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So like they had a good idea of these two things here, but it was just this one thing, which is crazy because I know that when I do employment coaching with my clients, you know, I always say, you know, what's going on? And they're like, well, I can't find employment. Okay. Are you doing this? Are you getting calls? Are you getting this? Because I want to figure out what is not working, right? And the majority of the time that I learned was the follow-up, you know, like them following up on that application or following up on that interview or following up. It was that always that follow-up, or the second one would have been the interview, you know, like the resume was fine, but it was that interview. And again, selling yourself. That was the hard part. And it's crazy that you said that because that was one of the biggest things that I would tell my clients. It's like, you've got to learn how to sell yourself. No one is going to be able to sell you better than you because you know the skills and stuff. But it's like we freeze. And even with this, with your own business, I think a lot of us have the tendency to freeze when it comes to talking about what it is that we do. I know yeah. I do. And I'm being very honest. And that's one of the things that I love about podcasting is that I can be myself and be honest. Because if I'm not honest, then they're going to be like, oh, well, she must be. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm far from that. Right. And so I want to be able to let the ladies that are listening to the podcast understand that I too, again, I'm human and I go through these things. And this is a journey that I'm also going through because I'm barely going to go 2 years into this business and I'm still not where I want to be. Yes, I've made huge connections with people and, you know, my connection and my network is growing, but I think it's that piece. And I think I just had that aha moment right now that you just said that, that, you know, it's learning how to sell ourselves comfortably. And yeah. That is one thing that I have struggled with because you're right. I can talk to people all about other things and man, they're like interested. Oh, I got to go check that out. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. You know, like, oh, give me the phone number. Give me that, you know, and they're quick. And then you see it. And then they're like, oh, you know what? I checked out that place or whatever. But then when it comes to me and it's like what I have to offer. So sometimes I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to be excited about me the way I'm excited about other products and get them just as excited.
Yeah. Like, because energy has a lot to do with it. You know, it's your energy speaks volumes when it comes to the confidence. And, you know, I always am like, it's the when it comes to selling, words are the beginning. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what thoughts are you making your ideal client receive? Like, what are the feelings and the emotions that you're evoking in them? And how are you conveying that? Because I can say one same message and it's going to be perceived one way and go about it a different way. And it could be perceived differently too. You know what I mean? So I think it's one of those things where practice, especially when it comes to sales, is very important. Right now, like the quiz is in lead up to the launch of one of my programs. And one of the things that I do in that program is like, we get on practice sales calls. We get on practice sales pitch calls too, because I'm like, the tone, the energy and the confidence behind it matters. And so I knew that I wish I would have had that when I was first starting out, where I was just like, can someone just practice how to hearing me out when it comes to selling my offer, my pitch, like how I'm going about communicating and asking for the sale. And then I heard that from a lot of market research that I did, that they were like, I know I have a pitch together, but I'm having, you know, a little bit of a struggle when it comes to actually saying it out loud. I'm like, bingo, like, let me help you with that. Let me hear you out. Let me give you in the moment feedback. And as women, especially as Latinas, like, I think that's what we need is just someone championing you and being like, here's the opportunity. This is what went really well, you know, and it comes from practice.
That's good advice. I can relate to that. Yeah, I can really. That's helpful because I didn't. And that's crazy because as a coach, I know the right things to say to my clients. But when you hear it from somebody else, the same advice thrown back at you, you're like, dang, I knew that. Yeah. And you're right. It really does take that feedback. And I think that's one of the struggles that we as Latinas face too, is that we don't know how to ask for help. like we're so afraid to ask for help. And I think sometimes that's the biggest challenge too, is knowing that we can ask for help. But I think it's because that mentality comes in as like, ay, no, no, es que no te quiero preocupar. No, 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 no. You know, it's too much. No, 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 no. Ni me hagas caso, ni me hagas caso. O sea, déjame. No, son mis tonterías, you know, son mis propias cosas, right? And it's like, we never want to ask for help because we feel like it's going to be a burden on somebody else. When in reality, it's the very thing that we probably need in order to continue to move forward. I was going to say, what has been the most rewarding part of having Lovingly Bold? What's been that groundbreaking and leading thing that moves you and inspires you to continue to go?
Yeah. Well, before I move on to that, I had a thought right now that just came to my mind to what you were saying. But I also think that, like, as women, we are also nervous to ask for help because oftentimes we put ourselves in that place of like, I have to be the one that is providing. I have to be the one that is the strongest, all these things. And sometimes, like, when we ask for help, that's probably one of the first times we ever have someone hear us out on the struggles that we're actually facing in that vulnerable moment. And it's like a sigh of relief when that happens, where they're like, I've never been able to say that out loud, but I'm glad that I finally did. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to say, because I know that that was really true for me. I grew up hearing, you know, calladitas más bonita. And so because of that, I've really struggled with, like, using my voice sometimes. I know that sometimes, like, when I show up through my content, it's like, wow, she's got it together. But behind that is the struggle of me being able to use my voice because of what I grew up hearing. And so when someone finally gave me the opportunity to be like, hey, let's talk about it, like, tell me what's going on, it was like a sigh of relief. So I just wanted to say that because it was on my heart. I'm like, know that you're not alone. I still, to this day, I'm like using my voice because I sometimes hear that chatter in the back of my mind. It's sometimes hard. It doesn't always come easy. But
it's that little girl voice, right? That past little girl voice that tells you, no, mommy dijo que, you know, que me no dijera nada. Que ni disculpe. And then it's that also that thing too, where you just don't talk about what's worrying you because it's nobody else's business, I guess. It's that mentality too. And I think that's really heavily rooted in our culture, is that you never say anything outside. Nobody needs it, because I think we have to portray like this one image, right? Of being a good, strong family, you know, whatever, and whatever happens behind closed doors happens behind closed doors. But I think that's the very thing that hurts us as well, is because we're not able to vocalize that. And it ends up hurting. And I know, because I grew up too. I'm a first generation on my mom's side and second generation on my dad's side. And my mom coming from Mexico, that was a lot of her mentality. Like, she never asked for help, you know, and if she did, and somebody I guess not disappointed her, but if it didn't come out, then it would just again remind her, like, ya ves, ni hubiera preguntado nada. But a lot of times it's because she didn't know the right people to ask for that help. And so with me, I had to learn that, you know, to ask for help. And then when I finally found the right people that were on my side or rooting for me, it made it easier, because then now I can identify who I could go to and who I shouldn't go to, you know? Yeah. And so, no, thank you for sharing that with us, because I think that's very, very true. But again, you know, so now that you've been with this company and this business now for almost, what, 4 years?
Going on 5 years. In
5 years.
5 years, yeah.
5 years. So what's been the most rewarding part of having and evolving with Lovingly Bold? And where did that name come from?
Yeah, so Lovingly Bold came from what we were just talking about, is like me being able to, like, authentically use my voice in a bold way, but sharing that in a lovingly way, because sometimes bold has this meaning behind it where you're straightforward, you're very, like, you say it how it is, and it doesn't matter if it hurts people's feelings. And I come from it from the perspective of, like, you can say what's on your mind and what's on your heart, but you can also do it in a lovingly way where you're creating impact. And so it's funny because it's coming from a place of me being able to just use my voice authentically. And along with that, I would say that that's been one of the most rewarding things for me, is being able to have this platform, this business that not only allows me to use my voice authentically, but being able to help others use their voice, use their persona, who they are, their stories in an authentic way to be able to do incredible things. You know, part of what I do is helping businesses grow, helping them create more money. And I always believe that, like, great people do great things when they have incredible money. And I love that that's something that I get to do. I also feel this passion that sometimes feels like a little bit maddening, of frustration of not being able to see us Latinos, us Latinas up in these stages, not being able to have a seat at the table at some of these tables. And so I'm very passionate about being able to create a table that we can all sit at, but also knocking on those doors and being like, I need a seat at that table too, because I think that when we can break past that too, collectively, we can do incredible things. And so a little bit of that is just a little rage inside of me that's just like, I want all of us to be able to rise up and
absolutely
do big as we speak in numbers. And so, you know, all that to say, that's a little bit of why I'm doing what I'm doing. And the rewarding part is just being able to work with incredible people. You know, I've worked with over 240 incredible business owners across 10 countries, and they've all taught me different things.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Wow. That's beautiful. Wow. I want to have, I mean, and I do have similar stories, but like I said, it's been through the nonprofit industry, which is still the same, right? I mean, it's still feedback that we get, but just from the business aspect of my business, that's the exact same thing that I want my clients to walk out with, saying that they felt like they had a seat, like they had a voice that was heard, and that they were acknowledged for the dreams that they want to accomplish and stuff. And that's one of the things that I want to be able to give them, is that to know that we're all welcomed here. This is a safe space, you know, and that there is no judgment. You know, I want to see just like you, you know, and that's what I say, that we begin to attract each other, one another, you know, through different platforms or media sources and stuff, because we're out there. We're just not all connected. And that's one of the beauties that I want to see, the positive of social media, is that because we learn that through one source, we'll learn to meet, to be able to one day have that big platform where we're all united and together and saying, hey, we're coming up strong and we're doing this, you know, we're doing these things. And even at me, for my age, at the age of 50, matter of fact, I had a lady that came into the office the other day, and you know, she's 50 years old too, and she didn't even know I was 50. And so she was crying and saying, you know, no one's going to hire me because I'm getting too old and stuff. And I was like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? I'm 50. I said, you can't go in there with that mentality. I said, you go in there with that mentality, I said, you've already lost the battle. I said, because you already went in with a defeated mentality. I said, the thing that you're in need of is rebuilding your self-confidence. I said, and learning who you are all over again, you know, re-identifying yourself, you know, who are you? You know, you are not your past. You are not the person that you were with. You are not, you know, any of the things that people are saying that you are. I said, you are you, and only you are going to know who that is. What are your passions? What are your desires? What is it that you want to do? And let's formulate a plan of action in order for you to get there. And then when she realized that I was 50 years old, she was like, oh my God. And she goes, I said, yeah, honey. I said, no. I said, we can't have that. I said, I've been where you're at. I was there years ago, but here I am today. I said, and these are the lessons that I learned, and this is where you got to go. And she, and I wasn't, you know, I was coaching her, but through that nonprofit organization, right? And she was like, so I gave her my card with my podcast and stuff. And so she heard, and she goes, you're a life coach. I said, I am, but because you're receiving services from me here, I already know that you're going through some things. So, you know, I can't, you know, connect the two. However, I can still work with you through this way, and we can still get things happen. So that's why I said there's that little bit of a challenge for me, but I just love that, because I feel rewarded when I see women that are receiving that message or that are, that feel like, oh my God, there is somebody out there that understands exactly what I'm talking about. You know, like I'm not just crying or saying or doing or whatever and sound like I'm a crazy woman. I'm like, no, by no means. You know, you've got the potential and you've got, you know, you just, it's changing that mindset and making a choice to make those changes. But I know that we're running out of time, but one last thing, you know, for anyone out there wanting to start their own thing, what's the top piece of advice you'd give them about redefining success and shining bright in their ventures?
Oh, I love that question. I think the thing is, if something's on your heart and it's on your mind and it's something that you're like, you keep thinking about, you go to sleep and you're thinking about it, you wake up and you're thinking about it, follow it. Follow it, because at the end of the day, anything that you set your mind to is going to teach you something. You're going to grow from it. It's going to make you a better person in one way, shape, or form. And So too many people, you know, go about their days or weeks or years wishing, hoping that they would have gone after something. And it's never too late to start. But I'm like, if it's weighing on your heart right now, like, go for it. Give yourself that permission slip and detach yourself from the outcome too. You know what I mean? Like, let yourself just be free and going after it and saying, what happens, happens. I'm going to give it my all and we're going to hope for the best. And I think that that's the best thing anyone who has an idea, wants to start a business, a side hustle can do, is just allow yourself to go for it and learn as you go.
Oh gosh, I love that advice. Thank you so much for that, Wendy. It's been so much fun having you here on the podcast and just listening to all the little nuggets that you dropped on us today. You know, I like I said, seeing a younger Latina, you know, it encourages me, it inspires me to continue to move forward. And I know that other women are inspired and motivated just by hearing you, because I know that, like I said, when you talk and you give that message, you give a lot of really great information. And I think that if they can't afford to hire you at the moment, you're giving them a lot of value. You're giving them a lot of things. I know that you've given me a lot of things and stuff. And so I appreciate that that is your focus, is, you know, and then when they are in a position that they say, okay, you know, I've collected all the information, I'm ready, you know, like I'm ready to start, and that you're receiving them. If somebody wanted to get in contact with you or get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, you can learn more about who I am, what I do, the value that I can provide on Instagram at lovinglybold. And, you know, my website is also www.lovinglybold.com. And my email is wendy@lovinglybold.com if you prefer to email me as well.
All right. So I will have all of those links in the show notes, so that if anyone is interested in learning more about what Wendy does, and maybe perhaps you have a business and you really want to take it up to the next level, then you can connect with her by that means. So amigas, to the listeners that are out there, thank you so much for tuning in. You know, once again, if you found value in this podcast, please share it, subscribe to it, leave me a rating or a review, because I do read them, and give me your feedback, because that's the only way that I know how to improve the material that I bring to you each and every week. And Wendy, once again, I want to just say thank you so much for joining me today, and I look forward to working with you in the future.
If you are hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode. And for that, I want to say mil gracias from the bottom of my heart. If you would like to dive deeper into today's message and would like to connect with me, send a DM on Instagram at Hola Mommy on a Mission or Facebook at Mommy on a Mission. You can also find me at mommyonamission.com. I hope you've enjoyed this new episode, and if you did, it would mean the world to me if you would subscribe, share this podcast, and leave me a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. Tune in next week for some more words of motivation, inspiration, and encouragement on Mommy on a Mission podcast.